Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a very interesting one. I have with me Bryce Gillespie with the Hand and Upper Extremity Center of Georgia. Welcome, Bryce.
Morning, Lee. Thank you very much for having me.
Before we get too far into things, tell us about the Hand and Upper Extremity Center of Georgia. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so we are a practice of six orthopedic surgeons who just specialize in upper extremity, so hand, wrist, shoulder, elbow issues. Our main office is here in Atlanta, adjacent to Northside Hospital and Scottish Rite Hospital. And our other offices are further up 400, serving Alpharetta and Cumming. But we have been in practice for over 45 years and provide this specialized care to children as well as adults who have issues with their upper extremities. And certainly things have been changing recently for us, but we've been adapting to that and try to continue to serve our patients as best we can.
So now, how has this coronavirus impacted your practice?
So one of the biggest changes, obviously, is being able to safely provide our services to patients and provide it in a way that's beneficial to them, but obviously maintaining their safety as well as our staff safety. And certainly in response to that, we have seen a decrease in our overall volume. It's probably at least 60% less office visits that we're seeing. And certainly on the surgery side, given that all elective surgeries have been canceled, we're probably only doing maybe 15 to 20% of the surgeries we'd normally be doing in this time. We had to make a decision about how to respond to that. One of them was to really contract our office presence here in the short term. So currently we've actually closed up two of our offices and really focused all of our energy here on our main office, again, near Northside Atlanta and Scottish Rite Hospitals, and really providing our care based out of that one office instead of your three full-fledged offices that we would normally be having. And in looking at that, we wanted to provide a way to still reach our current patients as well as new patients that would allow them to do so remotely. And that's where we started to offer telemedicine health here in just the past couple of weeks.
So now when you're kind of making that pivot to lean more on technology and telemedicine, how was that in terms of, how'd that go in terms of rolling it out to the team and start executing? And what have you learned thus far?
Right. Well, it certainly was a new process for us. Obviously, there had been some engagement online through a patient portal and obviously phone calls and things like that that have been routine for a long time. But really, we had never made the investment in understanding how to do this as well as how to do it effectively and what are the appropriate patients to do that. So pretty quickly, we resourced, amongst other colleagues, amongst some of the various professional organizations that we belong to, what resources were out there to provide this. Currently, we are using an online platform. It's docfeed.me. And that's a HIPAA-compliant or a privacy-compliant platform that allows an online, real-time audio and visual communication between a patient and a provider. And so we had to start to go through our schedules and identify patients who, had already been on the schedule from before that we thought would be appropriate for this, that they could provide maybe a follow-up visit to check in and see how they've been doing. Certainly some people after have had, if they had been having surgeries in January and February and March and just needed a quick check-in, that we could do this remotely instead of having to bring them all the way into the office.
So now this might be something that even after the crisis kind of goes away, that you might be able to lean on a little more than you had historically?
Right. I think that's a big question now. Certainly here in the short term, the government has actually made some changes to the regulations regarding telemedicine that has made it much more easy to roll out and certainly has limited some of the financial investment that people have to make in some of the platforms that are typically used for telemedicine. So I think if we certainly see that some of those restrictions are brought forward into the future and make it a little bit easier, I think it'd be a great resource. But I think at the same time, we are understanding when and how this can be implemented. And I do think that it would be something that would be great to maintain for our patients in the future, for sure.
Now, with all the burdens on the hospitals and emergency rooms, how are you, is there any way that you can help when, especially with all the kids home now? I'm sure there's, that doesn't make all the hand, wrist, and elbow injuries go away when they're hanging out at home playing. How are you helping in that area?
So we've certainly reached out to our neighboring hospitals, and obviously the ones that we provide some of those emergency services to are Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and Northside Hospital. And certainly we've made it aware to them and the ER staff that we are available. So if there is any way that they can start to triage some patients, you know, essentially from the front door, we can certainly see them over in the office. At the same time, we've had outreach to you know, our typical pediatricians and internists who would make referrals. And again, I've had certainly had a pediatrician who did a telemedicine visit for one of her patients about a finger injury, called me up, and then I subsequently did a telemedicine visit with that patient and eventually saw them in the office when it was appropriate. But in that way, we are continuing to extend our resources and trying to keep patients and families as healthy and as far away from the emergency rooms and offices when it's appropriate. And then when they need to, we bring them in. But that has certainly been something we've been trying to do to decompress our emergency rooms that we work with.
Now, any advice for the parents out there when they do have their kids running around to ways for them to help their children stay safe?
I think the biggest thing is obviously just trying to keep an eye on them. Certainly, I have found that people young and old are starting to get into some various outdoor equipment and power tools and things that they may not normally be around. So I think that's one of the most important things. I've seen several yard power tool incidents here, and some of them have been even young children. And so either it's identifying that if there's a tractor or a lawnmower or a hedge trimmer that's out and being used, that everyone stays away from that and that nothing goes unwatched in that regard or unattended. If there are power tools and other implements out in the lawn and in the yard, now that most people are doing a lot of home improvement projects, same way on the inside, that there's not power drills or other sorts of tools or saws that are laying around inside unattended either.
Now, you mentioned when you were kind of researching telemedicine and you were going to start implementing some of that, you leaned on the associations that you're a member of. Can you talk about how that kind of education happened and how you were able to get the team kind of trained up in order to do telemedicine effectively? Because there had to be some sort of a learning curve on how to effectively leverage that technology in this new platform.
Right, there certainly were. The professional organizations, again, some of them are based with the hospitals that we're affiliated with, and then certainly us as orthopedic surgeons. We have national societies for orthopedic surgeons, and specifically American Society for Surgery of the Hand, which is hand surgeons across the country. And they certainly did anywhere from blog posts to webinars, to just compiling resources, because again, when you're looking at this, it's not only identifying an effective platform and the software and hardware to use, but also understanding what the insurance companies are doing about this. Again, they have changed their guidelines pretty significantly, and that was almost changing on a daily basis as to which insurance companies would allow you to do the telehealth, how we bill and code appropriately. One of the nice things is that most of the insurance companies have actually started to waive copays for patients for telehealth visits. So typically, they may have to pay $25, $35, $50 copay to come into a doctor's office. And typically, they may be responsible for that for a telemedicine visit. But right now, for most of the insurance companies during this pandemic, they have waived those fees. So again, it's to try to allow people this method to access their physicians and making it as affordable and easy for the patient and the provider as possible.
Now, I would imagine in this case, you're leaning on telemedicine for a brand new patient, or at least somebody that is has a question maybe, or wants to kind of interact with a doctor that has never done telemedicine themselves from their end, is there any kind of coaching for that person? Like, because how does that happen? You know, if I'm a patient and I've never done this, this is new to me. Like, it's new to you. So imagine for me, this is really uncharted waters here.
It is. And certainly we're learning on the go a little bit regarding that, because oftentimes, you know, there are limitations as far as how much we can examine a patient. Again, a lot of it can be gained by their description and how they're describing their symptoms. But certainly sometimes physically have to take a step back from the webcam and demonstrate something and have them do it for us. And it may be something that we are having them position their arm in a certain way and asking us, does that make your hand feel numb, or does that make your elbow feel numb? Those sorts of things are coachable moments, and we are certainly learning on the fly. But I think that looking to the future, if we were to do more of this, we'd probably come up with some more standardized ways of communicating that, whether or not it's small tutorials or a worksheet that can be passed along ahead of the visit to say, hey, you know, these are the things that we're probably going to ask you to demonstrate, and try to do that in a more regimented fashion. Because, yes, it certainly is a learning curve, even from the fidelity of the image on the screen. It's not the best, but it certainly gives us the ability to really understand what they're concerned about and coach them. It can either be guidance that, yes, I think we're in a good position, or, you know what, this is concerning enough. I think it is worth having you come into the office, and we'll make every effort to get you in the office quickly and as safely as possible.
Now, from the patient standpoint, is this something they use their laptop, or can they use their smartphone? Like, what technology is required from the patient standpoint?
Yeah, so for the most part, they can use any smart device or their laptop. The platform we're using is a web-based platform, and so they get an email with a link that allows them to check into essentially a virtual waiting room, and they can do that from their phone or tablet or desktop. Some of the platforms out there would require them to download an app. That's not the one that we're using, but there are some that may require a little bit more work ahead of time. Ours is as easy as clicking on a link that we would email to the patient ahead of time after they've requested an appointment.
So the bottom line is, you're open for business. You might have kind of have one main office right now where people can go into, but you're available to help if somebody has an issue regarding, their hand or their wrist or their elbow or their shoulder, right?
Definitely. We are here and certainly more than willing to be available to them. And again, certainly there are urgent and emergent reasons to do that. But also, even in this time when people are focusing on some issues that maybe they've put on the back burner for a while, we are more than willing to start to engage them, and it may be through a telemedicine visit that we engage them initially. And then once things have quieted down a little bit in the next few weeks, maybe they do present to us in the office and we get to have a full discussion or a full examination then. But at least we've started the process. We can even start coaching some treatment. You know, there are certainly over-the-counter things and things that they can try around the house to help alleviate some of those symptoms that they're having. And I think it goes to giving them a good peace of mind that they've at least had somebody understand a little bit about what's going on. They have a little bit of a framework in mind, knowing that it may still need some more treatment or more diagnosis or evaluation in the future. But we are here for them for sure.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about the practice, what's the website?
Yeah, so our website is www.handcenterga.com.
HandCenterGA.com. Well, Bryce, thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for helping out in the community. And I'm sure you're creating a lot of peace of mind for people who might have injuries, and also you're able to kind of triage some situations that might need, you know, urgent care.
Definitely. Yeah, we are here and available and appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.